So in Denton right now, rental demand is just, I mean, it's absolutely exploding.
Oh, completely. It's off the charts.
Right. We're seeing this massive year-over-year surge in single-family home leases being signed.
Mm.
And, you know, basic high school-level economics basically dictates that when demand surges and more people are fighting for housing, well, the prices rise.
Right. The supply and demand curve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in Denton, the monthly rental prices are actually dropping.
Yeah, which is wild.
It's a complete paradox. It's this this mathematical anomaly that makes absolutely zero sense until you really rip the floorboards up and look at the underlying structural shifts happening in the housing market.
And that's exactly what we're doing today.
Yes, it is. Welcome to The Deep Dive. We are so thrilled to have you with us. It is late April 2026, and we are staring down the barrel of the busy spring real estate season.
The craziest time of the year.
Truly. And today's mission is incredibly specific. We are decoding the brand new Q1 2026 Market Watch and the March 2026 monthly MLS summary reports.
And we should clarify, this isn't some broad, watered-down summary of the whole American housing market.
No, not at all. This deep dive is custom-tailored for you, focusing specifically on Denton County, Texas.
Which is such a fascinating micro-market right now.
It really is. So whether you're a property owner trying to calculate your equity, or an investor looking for yield, or maybe a prospective buyer waiting for that perfect entry point, this data fundamentally changes the playbook.
It absolutely does. But to accurately read that playbook, we have to first establish the pedigree of the data we're parsing today, right?
Yeah. Lay it out for us. Where are these numbers coming from?
So the foundational numbers driving our analysis were prepared by the Texas Real Estate Research Center at Texas A&M University.
Dig 'em.
Exactly. And they are aggregating listing data exclusively from the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems.
Which, for those of us operating in this specific local ecosystem, is proudly pronounced Net Trains.
Right, Net Trains.
You have to hit that rust sound at the end, right? Net Trains.
You definitely do. And alongside that raw empirical data from Texas A&M and Nectros, we are also layering in qualitative market positioning insights from David Peet.
By David Peet.
Yeah, he's an agent with Peet Realty who boasts over 10 years of highly localized, like boots-on-the-ground experience in these specific North Texas counties.
Which is huge.
It's critical. That localized, decade-long perspective provides the crucial translation layer between, you know, a sterile spreadsheet and the actual reality of putting a for sale sign in your front yard.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the numbers we're seeing this spring tell a very, very unexpected story.
They really do.
But before we even look at the first metric, we have to address the elephant in the room regarding what this data actually represents, because there's a massive caveat in the report's methodology.
Oh, yeah. A caveat that completely changes how we should interpret the landscape.
Right. Tell them about the MLS thing.
So it's a critical distinction. The report explicitly highlights that this data exclusively covers MLS listings.
Mm.
It only accounts for properties formally entered into multiple listing surveys. What it completely omits are sales by outside sources.
Wait, so like...
So if a major national home builder is selling brand new construction homes directly to consumers, and they choose not to list those specific inventory homes on the MLS, those transactions are totally invisible in this data set.
Wow. Okay, so off-market, private transactions handled by non-Net Tries members are just absent.
Completely absent.
I mean, I look at that caveat and see a massive structural divide in the market. We are fundamentally looking at the resale market of existing homes here.
Right. The everyday market.
Exactly. Yeah. We're looking at the reality of the everyday homeowner trying to sell their 5-year-old or 15-year-old or maybe 50-year-old property.
And that homeowner is operating in a completely different universe than the mega builder down the street.
Oh, completely.
Because new construction builders are operating as their own financial ecosystems right now. They aren't just selling lumber and drywall, you know. They are selling mortgage products.
That's a really good point.
They have the capital reserves to offer massive financial incentives. I mean, we are talking about buying down the buyer's mortgage interest rate to 4 or 5% when the open market rate is hovering over 7%.
Which is crazy.
And they can cover $20,000 in closing costs without blinking.
Right. Whereas the traditional family selling their 4-bedroom home simply cannot afford to absorb a $30,000 hit just to subsidize a buyer's interest rate.
Exactly. They need that equity for their next down payment.
Right. So when we look at this MLS data, we are seeing the raw, unsubsidized reality of the secondary market.
The real unvarnished numbers.
Yes. We're seeing how standard properties perform when they don't have a corporate treasury department artificially sweetening the deal.
Which is exactly why the macro level data for the broader Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington MSA is so revealing. It sets our baseline for how this unsubsidized market is actually functioning right now.
Let's lay out that baseline. Across the entire DFW Metroplex for March 2026, the average single-family home price is sitting at $502,255. And that represents a 1% drop year over year. The median price is at $388,495, which is down 3% from last March.
So a 1% to 3% contraction across an economic engine as massive and diverse as the DFW MSA is not a crash.
Right. We're not talking about a housing collapse.
No, it is not 2008. It is a slow structural deflation. It's basically a market desperately trying to find an equilibrium between entrenched sellers and financially exhausted buyers.
Yep. But the metric that really exposes that friction, you know, isn't the price, it's the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Across the whole Metroplex, the days on market has jumped 11% year over year. The average home in DFW is now sitting active for 71 days before going under contract.
71 days.
Yeah. I look at a 1% price drop and a 71-day wait time, and I see an incredible disconnect.
It's massive.
I mean, if buyers aren't willing to purchase these homes for over 2 months, why haven't the prices dropped further? It feels like the sellers are just digging their heels in and refusing to read the room.
Well, what's fascinating here is the psychological battle playing out in real time. You are looking at the friction between price stickiness and holding power.
Right.
Sellers in the broader MSA are displaying remarkable stubbornness. I mean, the data shows an overall sold-to-list ratio of 94.7%.
Okay, wait, let me stop you there.
Right.
Because I have to push back on that 94.7% figure being a sign of seller strength.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, if a home sits for 71 days and eventually sells for 94.7% of the asking price, that doesn't necessarily mean the seller won the negotiation.
That's fair.
I mean, it might just mean they held on for 2 months, realized the market wasn't coming to them, and finally accepted a concession just to stop the bleeding.
And that is exactly the mechanism at play. You hit the nail on the head. The 94.7% sold-to-list ratio is often a lagging indicator of exhaustion.
Exhaustion.
Think about it. The seller anchors their expectation to what their neighbor's house sold for at the peak of the market. They list at that aspirational price.
Right, they want those peak numbers.
But the buyers, who are calculating their monthly payments at current interest rates, they look at that price and say, absolutely not. The math is broken.
Yeah, the monthly payment is just too high.
So the house sits, and it sits.
And while it sits, the carrying costs are quietly draining the seller's equity.
Oh, heavily.
I mean, if you were sitting on a $400,000 house in Texas, your property taxes are substantial. You are paying thousands of dollars a month in taxes, insurance, HOA fees, and mortgage interest for a house that is basically just sitting there acting as a showroom.
Right. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the buyer actually has the structural advantage in a 71-day market, even if the eventual price drop is only 5%.
Interesting. Because of time.
Yes. The buyer is utilizing time as a weapon. They are waiting for the seller's carrying costs to induce panic. This is the standoff.
Standoff.
Sellers want yesterday's prices, and buyers are restricted by today's cost of capital. That gap takes 71 days to bridge.
Wow. So bringing this directly to you, the listener, if you're prepping your house right now, you know, maybe touching up the trim paint for a big late April or Mother's Day weekend open house, you have to completely reset your internal clock.
You really do.
You need to mentally and financially prepare for a marathon. You cannot rely on the muscle memory of the past few years where a house would hit the MLS on Thursday and have 15 offers over asking by Sunday night.
Those days are gone. The operational reality of a 71-day listing is punishing.
It's exhausting, right?
Oh, it means keeping your home in pristine magazine cover condition for 2.5 months. It means packing up your dogs and your children and leaving the house every time an agent requests a showing, week after week after week.
I can't even imagine.
The emotional friction of that process often dictates the eventual price drop more than any macroeconomic factor. The seller simply gets tired.
They just throw their hands up.
Exactly.
Well, that brings us to the core of our deep dive today. We are zeroing in. We're leaving the broad DFW averages behind and isolating the single-family residence data specifically for the city of Denton.
And this is where it gets really interesting.
Yes, because the moment we isolate Denton, the narrative shifts from this gentle deflation to a much more pronounced localized squeeze.
Right. The transaction volume tells the immediate story of liquidity.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the lack thereof.
Exactly. Let's look at the volume drop. In March 2025, the city of Denton saw 146 closed single-family home sales.
Okay.
Fast forward to this March 2026, and that number has fallen to 113.
Wow.
Yeah. We're looking at a 22% drop in transaction volume year over year.
A 22% contraction in closed sales is not a statistical anomaly. It is a fundamental reduction in market velocity.
Absolutely.
Think about it. When 33 fewer families buy a home in a single month in a specific city, the ripple effects through the local microeconomy are severe.
Yeah, it's not just the real estate agents taking a hit. Not at all. That is 33 fewer title policies written, 33 fewer home inspections, 33 fewer moving trucks rented, and 33 fewer families buying appliances at the local big box store. And the pricing data in Denton is absorbing that hit. The price contraction in Denton is noticeably sharper than the broad 1% to 3% drop we saw across the entire DFW Metroplex.
Right. Let's hear those Denton numbers.
So in Denton, the average price of a single-family home fell from $411,016 down to $396,199.
Okay.
The median price dropped from $392,286 down to $380,000. And looking at the raw footprint value, the price per square foot dropped from $190.97 to $182.18.
Those numbers represent a very distinct localized correction. Denton's median price is contracting faster than the regional average.
Why do you think that is?
Well, to understand why prices are falling while transaction volume plummets, we have to look at the supply side. The active listings, the inventory of homes sitting on the market competing for those rare buyers, climbed from 447 last March to 486 this March.
So we have inventory swelling, buyers retreating, and prices dropping.
It's the classic anatomy of a shifting market.
But the metric that truly shocked me when I pulled the Denton-specific data wasn't the median price, it was the time constraint.
The days on market.
Yes. We discussed DFW sitting at 71 days on market. In the city of Denton, the days on market just exploded. It went from 55 days last March, which is, you know, a relatively healthy, historically normal timeline.
Right. 55 days is totally reasonable.
You'd a staggering 77 days this March.
77 days. Let's really contextualize what that means for a property owner in Denton right now. That's 11 full weeks of uncertainty.
11 weeks. And begs the question, why is Denton sitting at 77 days when the rest of the Metroplex is clearing at 71?
It's a great question.
Is it a localized economic issue? Or are sellers in Denton just aggressively mispricing their homes right out of the gate?
I would argue it is heavily weighted toward the latter, mispricing. And this is exactly where the localized expertise from a source like David Peet becomes critical.
Right.
When you have a decade of experience navigating the specific nuances of Denton County, you recognize the danger of aspirational pricing in a high inventory, low velocity environment.
I call it the David Peet strategy. It's the absolute necessity of day one pricing accuracy.
Precisely. If a seller in Denton today says, let's list it high and just test the waters, they are walking into a trap.
A huge trap.
In a market with 486 active listings and only 113 monthly buyers, the buyers are hyper-selective. If your home hits the market overpriced by even 3 or 4%, the buyers will simply scroll past it. They have the luxury of options.
And the algorithmic penalty for being ignored is brutal.
Oh, the algorithms are unforgiving.
If your house sits with zero activity for the first 14 days, it falls to the bottom of the digital search results on all the major real estate apps.
Exactly.
By day 30, it's essentially invisible to new buyers entering the market. And by day 60, the buyers who do see it assume there is something structurally or fundamentally wrong with the property.
They look at the listing and think, why hasn't anyone bought this yet? What does the inspection report look like?
Is the foundation cracked?
Exactly. And this raises an important question about seller psychology. At day 77, the seller isn't just making a minor adjustment, right? They are often forced to make a punitive price cut just to re-stimulate interest.
Ah, so they actually lose money by trying to test the waters.
Yes. A seller who priced accurately on day one might have sold in 30 days at $390,000.
Right.
The seller who tested the waters at $410,000 ends up sitting for 90 days and capitulating at $375,000 out of sheer desperation. In this specific Denton environment, time is the absolute enemy of equity.
Wow. Time is the enemy of equity. So if we look at this from the buyer's perspective.
Let's do that.
You're a prospective buyer looking at Denton.
Mm-hmm.
You see a median price of $380,000 for a single family home.
Oh.
Even with the price drops, with current interest rates, that monthly payment might still stretch your debt-to-income ratio way too far.
It's very likely.
So naturally, you look down the property ladder. You look for the entry-level options. You look for condominiums and townhomes.
Right, the traditional starter homes.
Yeah. So I dug into the condo market in Denton, expecting to see a flurry of activity from buyers seeking affordability.
The assumption being that if single-family homes are out of reach, the high-density, lower-cost options should absorb that displaced demand.
Exactly my thought process. But the numbers are incredibly stark. They represent a total system failure in that specific submarket.
A system failure?
Literally. For condominiums in the city of Denton, there were zero closed sales in March 2025.
Zero.
And there was zero closed sales in March 2026. Absolutely nothing moved.
That is incredible.
And the active listings dropped from 15 down to 10. So what does this all mean? Is the condo market just totally frozen in Denton?
It is the definition of an illiquid asset class right now. I mean, when we analyze the months of inventory metric for Denton condos, it sits at an astonishing 15.0 months.
For context for you listening, a balanced market is generally considered to be around 6 months of inventory.
Right.
Denton condos are sitting on enough supply to last a year and a quarter at the current non-existent pace of sales.
But the more critical question is why the condo market is frozen.
Yeah, why?
Because if buyers are seeking affordability, why aren't they buying the cheapest asset class available? It almost certainly points to a structural breakdown in the financing or carrying costs associated with condos.
Oh, I would immediately point to the insurance crisis impacting homeowner associations across Texas.
That's a massive factor.
We have seen massive spikes in property insurance premiums due to weather events, hail, wind, all of it.
Yeah.
Condominiums rely on a master insurance policy for the exterior structure and the roof. When that master policy premium doubles or triples, the HOA is forced to pass that cost directly to the unit owners through massive increases in monthly HOA dues.
That is a highly probable mechanism here. If you find a condo listed for $200,000, it looks affordable on paper, right? But if the monthly HOA fee is $600 or $800 to cover these new insurance realities and deferred maintenance, the buyer's debt-to-income ratio is instantly destroyed.
You just can't afford the monthly note.
Exactly. The bank will not approve the loan. The condo becomes effectively unfinanceable for the exact demographic, first-time, entry-level buyers that it was designed for.
Wow. So the buyer is trapped. They can't afford the $380,000 single-family home, and the bank won't finance the $200,000 condo because the HOA fees are toxic.
Precisely.
So I transitioned the data search to the middle ground, townhomes in Denton.
Okay, what did you find?
Well, while the volume here is incredibly low, the underlying data is absolutely fascinating. There was exactly one single townhouse sold in Denton in March 2026.
Just one.
Just one. But the anatomy of that single transaction tells us everything we need to know about the current leverage dynamics.
Low volume data sets are tricky, but when the metrics are this extreme, they highlight a clear market behavior.
Let me give you the numbers. That single townhome sat on the market for 105 days.
Oh, man.
Over three full months. And the sold-to-list price ratio was a brutal 87.3%.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, an 87.3% sold-to-list ratio after 105 days on market is the mathematical fingerprint of a distressed sale.
Let's run the math on that for a second. If a townhome was listed for $300,000, an 87.3% ratio means the seller ultimately walked away with around $261,900.
Right.
They surrendered nearly $40,000 of equity.
And we have to consider the compounding damage of those 105 days.
The carrying costs again.
Exactly. For 3.5 months, that seller was paying property taxes, their own HOA fees, their mortgage interest, and insurance. The holding costs alone likely stripped away another $6,000 to $8,000 in liquid cash.
Just brutal.
By the time they reached day 105, they weren't negotiating from a position of strength at all. They were capitulating to the first buyer who could actually close the deal.
Which is a massive signal for you if you are a buyer listening to this. If you have the patience to scour the townhome market in Denton, and you can identify the properties that have crossed that 90-day threshold, you have immense leverage.
Unbelievable leverage.
The sellers in that specific tranche are feeling acute financial pain. They are bleeding cash every month, and they are highly susceptible to aggressive negotiation on price or, you know, covering your closing costs or buying down your interest rate.
It is the stark reality of shifting liquidity. When the music stops, the seller holding the illiquid asset takes the hit.
But this creates a massive macro-level problem. We know the population in North Texas is still growing.
Right. People are still moving here.
The corporate relocations haven't stopped. People are still pouring into Denton County. If buyers are getting squeezed out of single-family homes by high rates and avoiding condos due to toxic HOA fees, and the townhome market is moving at a crawl, where are these people living?
Because they have to live somewhere.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. I pivoted the data analysis away from purchasing and looked exclusively at the rental market.
And the lease market often acts as the pressure release valve for the entire residential ecosystem.
And the valve is wide open in Denton right now. While Denton's single-family home sales plummeted from 146 down to 113, the volume of Denton single-family leases skyrocketed.
Demand shifted.
It surged. The number of signed leases jumped from 61 last March up to 84 this March.
That is a massive proportional increase. It represents a fundamental behavioral migration. Prospective buyers are effectively going on strike, choosing to park themselves in rental properties while they wait for interest rates or purchase prices to normalize.
But here's the curveball, and this is the anomaly I mentioned at the very beginning of our deep dive.
Right, the rent prices.
Usually when demand spikes, like when you have 23 more families aggressively competing to rent a single-family house in a single month, the prices rise.
Of course, the landlords have multiple applications, so they raise the rent.
Exactly. But the data shows the exact opposite. Despite this massive surge in tenant demand, the average lease price for a single-family home in Denton dropped from $2,310 a month down to $2,088.
Wow.
Yeah. The median lease dropped from $2,245 down to $2,050.
A nearly $200 drop in monthly rental yield while transaction volume is surging. It's a fascinating contradiction, but the mystery evaporates the moment you look at the supply-side inventory.
The active listings for leases.
Yes.
While the number of signed leases went up to 84, the total inventory of homes available to rent absolutely surged, jumping from 118 up to 141.
So the supply of rental homes flooded the market faster than the surging demand could absorb them.
But this raises an important question. Where did all of this new rental inventory suddenly come from?
Well, investors aren't buying properties at 7.5% interest rates to rent them out for $2,050 a month. The math on that yields a negative cash flow.
Right, they'd be losing money every month.
Exactly. So these aren't new investor purchases.
Yeah.
What we are witnessing is the accidental landlord phenomenon materializing at scale.
I want to dig deep into the mechanics of the accidental landlord because I really think this is the defining narrative of the Denton market right now.
I agree completely. It connects directly back to the 77 days on market we discussed earlier. The sales market is a blocked pipe, and the pressure builds as homes sit empty.
So how does an accidental landlord get created?
Let's look at the timeline. Imagine a homeowner in Denton who gets a job transfer to Austin.
Okay.
They have to move. They list their house for sale, assuming a quick 30-day close, because that's what happened in 2021 and 2022.
Right.
They pack up, move to Austin, sign a lease or buy a home down there, and wait for their Denton home to sell.
But 30 days go by, then 60 days, then 77 days. The house in Denton is just sitting there empty.
Exactly. And the financial pressure becomes agonizing. They are now carrying two housing payments, their new living expenses in Austin, and the mortgage, taxes, and insurance on an empty house in Denton.
And the bank does not grant forbearance just because the real estate market slowed down.
No, they do not. The dual mortgage panic sets in.
That sounds incredibly stressful.
The panic sets in, and they realize they cannot afford to lower the sale price of the Denton home any further. Perhaps they bought it in 2023 at the peak of the market, and they are borderline underwater.
Oh, wow. So if they drop the price...
If they drop the price by $20,000 to attract a buyer, they would literally have to bring a check to the closing table to pay off their own mortgage. They are trapped.
So the only viable tourniquet to stop the cash bleed is to pull the for sale sign out of the yard and call a property management company.
Yep. They transition the home from an active sales listing to an active lease listing.
They never intended to be real estate investors.
Never. They don't want to fix leaky toilets from 200 miles away in Austin, but the blocked sales pipe forced them into the rental market.
And when you multiply that individual scenario by dozens of frustrated sellers across Denton, the rental market is suddenly flooded with new unintentional inventory.
Yes. And these accidental landlords are desperate.
They aren't trying to maximize yield, right?
No, they just want to stop bleeding cash. They are just trying to cover their mortgage payment by the first of the month. So when they list the home for rent and it sits empty for 2 weeks, they panic again and slash the asking rent.
Which explains the price crash perfectly. You have a wave of desperate, unintentional landlords undercutting each other just to get a body in the door.
Exactly.
The rent drops from $2,300 to $2,050. Not because the house is worthless, but because the landlord's holding capacity is totally exhausted.
Yes.
This is incredible leverage for you, the renter. You're no longer negotiating with a monolithic corporate landlord who refuses to budge on price. You're negotiating with a stressed homeowner who just needs someone to cover their carrying costs.
Well, we must be careful not to paint with too broad a brush here because real estate is violently hyper-local.
Very true.
The conditions that create this rental price drop in Denton City might not exist one zip code over.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to test the boundaries of this accidental landlord theory.
Oh, what did you look at?
I pulled the exact same data metrics for Corinth, a neighboring city right next to Denton, inside the very same county.
Okay, perfect comparison.
I wanted to see if the rental prices crashed there, too. In Corinth, their lease volume went up slightly, from 7 to 10. But their average lease price held completely steady.
Really?
Yeah. Last year, it was $2,491. This year, it is $2,489. It literally didn't budge.
That is a phenomenal micro-market contrast. Denton City takes a $200 a month hit on rental yields, while Corinth remains perfectly insulated.
But why the divergence? If they are right next to each other, subject to the same interest rates and the same macroeconomic headwinds, why does Corinth hold its rental value while Denton bleeds?
It almost certainly comes down to the composition of the housing stock and the specific demographics of the typical seller in each city.
Walk us through that.
Well, Corinth is traditionally characterized by established, owner-occupied neighborhoods with perhaps less transient populations compared to a city with major university influences like Denton.
Right. Denton has UNT and TWU.
Exactly. If Corinth homeowners are sitting on massive equity from living in their homes for 15 years and they have a sub 3% mortgage rate, they aren't forced to become accidental landlords.
They have a cushion.
Yes. If their house doesn't sell, they just take it off the market and stay put. They have the financial stability to weather the storm.
It perfectly illustrates why you cannot read a national headline that says Sunbelt rents are crashing and assume it applies to your specific street.
You really can't.
You have to have the localized data and, more importantly, the localized interpretation of that data.
Which brings us to the final and perhaps most distinct segment of the market we need to examine today.
Right.
The sectors that operate on entirely different timelines and different capital structures than residential housing.
We need to look at the long game. If you are an investor looking to deploy capital or a business owner looking for a new footprint, what does the commercial and land data for Denton look like in March 2026?
The commercial and land sectors are the tectonic plates beneath the housing market. They move incredibly slowly, but their shifts dictate the future development of the entire region.
And right now, those plates are barely moving at all.
No, they're frozen.
The sales volume for raw land and commercial property in Benton literally halved year over year. It dropped from a grand total of 4 transactions last March down to just 2 transactions this March.
2 transactions?
2. And the average price dropped in a way that looks like a catastrophic error on the spreadsheet. The average price plummeted from $570,603 down to $118,750.
I can see why a casual observer would look at an 80% drop in average price and assume the commercial market has completely collapsed.
It looks terrifying.
It does, but we have to dissect the methodology of how these averages are calculated in low volume scenarios.
Right, because a piece of land isn't a standardized commodity like a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house in a subdivision.
Exactly. The extreme price volatility is a function of the asset variance, not necessarily a crash in intrinsic value.
Give us an example of what you mean.
So, last March, those 4 sales might have included a 50-acre parcel zone for a massive multifamily development, which pulls the average sale price sky high.
Oh, sure.
This March, the 2 transactions might have been quarter-acre commercial pad sites meant for a fast food drive-thru. You cannot extract a reliable median value trend from 2 completely disparate asset classes. The price drop is an illusion of the small sample size.
However, there is one metric in this commercial data that is highly reliable, totally immune to the sample size variance, and incredibly telling about the current state of capital deployment.
The days on market.
The days on market. For land and commercial property in Denton right now, it is an astonishing 319 days.
Almost a full year.
That is almost a full calendar year. If you are putting a for sale sign on a commercial lot or a piece of acreage in Denton today, in late April 2026, the statistical reality is that you should not expect to sit at a closing table until Valentine's Day of 2027.
This metric exposes the brutal reality of commercial lending right now.
Right. It's not the same as getting a home loan.
Not at all. Commercial real estate is not financed with 30-year fixed-rate mortgages subsidized by the government. It is financed with commercial loans, often 5 to 7 year terms with balloon payments, and they are tied directly to current interest rates.
So the cost of capital for a developer looking to buy that land is exponentially higher today than it was 3 years ago.
Precisely. Commercial real estate is valued based on the capitalization rate, the cap rate, and the net operating income it can generate.
Basically, the return on investment.
Exactly. If a developer's cost of borrowing is 8%, they need the development to yield significantly more than 8% just to break even. Because construction costs and labor remain high, the only variable in the equation that can be compressed to make the math work is the acquisition cost of the dirt itself.
Ah, so the land seller has to absorb the hit.
Yes. The buyer says, I want to build a retail center here, but with my loan costs, I can only afford to pay $500,000 for the land, not the $800,000 you are asking.
And the seller says no.
The seller refuses. The standoff begins. And because the commercial market relies on sophisticated investors rather than emotional home buyers, nobody blinks. The standoff stretches to 319 days. It is a grueling test of the seller's holding power and patience.
But there is a massive silver lining in this data for the sellers who actually survive that 319-day gauntlet and make it to the finish line. Let's look at the sold-to-list ratio for these transactions.
It is the most impressive recovery metric in the entire report.
The sold-to-list ratio for land and commercial properties in Denton jumped from an abysmal 68.5% in 2025 to a near-perfect 99.8% in 2026.
Wow.
Yeah, going from buyers demanding a 30% discount to buyers paying essentially 100% of the asking price. What does that shift indicate about the underlying mechanics of these rare deals?
It indicates the absolute eradication of aspirational pricing. A 99.8% sold-to-list ratio means that the sellers who are actually successfully closing these transactions are pricing their assets with pinpoint surgical accuracy on day one.
They aren't playing games.
Exactly. They are not throwing inflated numbers against the wall to see what sticks. They know exactly what their dirt is worth to a developer under current financing conditions, and they price it accordingly.
And frankly, this is where leaning heavily on a seasoned professional is completely non-negotiable.
You have to have a pro.
If you are a family trust trying to sell a 10-acre parcel you've owned for decades, you cannot just look at an algorithm online. You are relying on the deep structural knowledge of someone like David Pete. You need an agent with a decade of specific localized history to look at the zoning, look at the utility access, look at the current cap rates, and set a highly realistic expectation.
Right, so that when a qualified buyer finally emerges from the woodwork after 300 days, the math actually works for both sides, and the deal closes seamlessly at 99.8% of asking.
Okay, we have covered a staggering amount of ground today. We have ripped through the macro trends and dug deep into the hyperlocal friction points.
It's a lot to process.
It is. So let's synthesize the core findings of this deep dive so you can actually apply this knowledge to your own situation.
Great idea.
If you are a property owner trying to sell a home in Denton County this spring, you must fundamentally accept that the frenzy of the low interest rate era is over. The data is clear, uncompromising, and actionable. Transaction volume is down. Active inventory is swelling around you. And most importantly, you must mentally and financially prepare for a 77-day wait on the market. Precision pricing on day one is your only defense against a stale listing.
Conversely, if you are a renter in Denton, the script has entirely flipped in your favor. You possess incredible leverage right now.
Huge leverage.
The market is flooded with new inventory created by accidental landlords who are desperate to cover their carrying costs. With monthly rental yields dropping as a result of this oversupply, you have the unprecedented power to negotiate aggressively, demand better terms, and shop around in a way that was literally impossible just 2 years ago.
And if you are a property owner on the fence, perhaps considering a move but intimidated by the days on market metrics and the shifting landscape, your absolute best shield is localized expertise. Seeking out a seasoned Texas-friendly veteran with a decade of specific local market knowledge, someone who innately understands why the Denton market is bleeding while the Corinth market holds firm, is the most critical decision you will make. You need a navigator who understands the currents, not just someone who can read a map.
Ultimately, all of this real estate data, from the A&M Research Center to the NetTrays MLS feeds, is only as valuable as your ability to apply it to your reality. We have provided the macro trends and the micro analyses today, but we urge you to validate this data with your own observation.
Look out your own window.
Exactly. Walk your own neighborhood in Denton County. Watch the for sale signs going up on your street. Track how long they sit there before a price-reduced rider is added. Measure how quickly those signs actually turn into sold signs. The data is merely a reflection of the behaviors happening right outside your door.
Absolutely. Because every single street tells its own unique economic story. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final lingering question, a structural question, based on everything we have unpacked today regarding the friction in the sales market and the explosion of the rental inventory.
Okay, lay it on us.
With homes taking nearly 3 months to sell, and the single-family rental market surging with massive waves of new listings from accidental landlords, we have to ask about the long-term impact on the community. What happens to the cultural and social fabric of Denton County neighborhoods if a massive percentage of traditionally owner-occupied starter homes permanently transition into rental properties?
That is the big unknown.
If these accidental landlords decide never to sell and simply hold these properties as income-producing assets, will the block you live on today look and feel fundamentally different by this time next year? Keep your eyes open, watch your neighborhood, and we will see you on the next Deep Dive.